Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories Season 4. I'm your host, writer and comedian, Emily Winter, and I have super exciting news. We're doing a live version of the podcast. We're doing a live show. I'm going to co-host it with my friend Larry Mancini, and we're going to have so much awesome stuff. It is going to be October 21st. It's a Thursday at 9:30 p.m. at Caveat in New York City. And there's going to be a live stream of the show, so if you're not in New York, you can watch it wherever you are. So I'm so excited about this. You can go to caveat.nyc to get tickets to the live show. The lineup is amazing. We're going to have new stories never before on the pod from Mike Kaplan, who's been on every late night show, and America's Got Talent, and Comedy Central, and Noye Brown West, who was on the podcast and did amazing, but she didn't even get to all of her ghost stories on the pod, so she's going to tell stories we've never heard before. We're going to play some morbid trivia and games, and then there's going to be two comedians who are retelling their stories, and these are two of the podcast favorites, one from Tracy McClendon and one from Pete Stegmeyer. So it should be a really good time. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really happy that Caveat in New York City reopened. It's a really, really lovely venue. And I'm glad that they made it through. So anyway, go to caveat.nyc to get tickets to the live show on Thursday, October 21st. And also, I'm going to tell you about my book again, because it's still on pre-order. I have a trivia book coming out October 12th. You can pre-order it wherever you get your books, including most local bookstores seem to have it. So that is great news. It is called One Day Smarter, and pre-orders really, really help. They help bookstores figure out how well a book is going to sell, right? So it's like they get to check the pre-order numbers, and if there's a lot of pre-orders, then they say, okay, we're going to order a bunch and put them in a, on a, you know, nice table in the front. And if there's no pre-orders, then they'll order one copy and put it on a bottom shelf. You know how that goes. Anyway, so pre-order One Day Smarter. There is a chapter in there called Morbid Facts for Know-It-All Goths. I hope you enjoy the book, enjoy our live show on October 21st, and I am so, so excited about both of those things, and I also hope that you enjoy this incredible episode. Have a great day. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have Sarah Costello. Sarah, welcome.
Emily, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, yeah. I'm super pumped that you're doing this podcast. And we found each other through Twitter, which is often where I find my ghost people. And it makes me so happy. Yes. And you're coming to us from Chicago, which is also where I'm from. So do your stories take place in Chicago?
Actually, my first one does. Yeah.
Ooh, a hometown story for me. I'm so pumped. All right, well, take it away. Tell me your first ghost story. I'm so excited.
Okay. So as a Chicagoan, you'll probably know, the north side where I live in Lincoln Park around here, we had a ton of history. We had a lot of Chicago gangster Al Capone type history. We've got a lot attached to this land here. And including the fact that it was built on one of Chicago's very first cemeteries.
Oh, I did not know that.
I did. So it was built whenever Chicago first got settled, they settled along the lakefront.
Okay.
And as people started to pass away, they were burying people, obviously, around where they had settled. And they realized, oh, man, we shouldn't have so many people with like typhoid fever so near our water source. That sucks. So they started moving all of these bodies to different places, to Rose Hill, to Graceland. And then the Great Chicago Fire hit.
Oh, my God.
So it knocked out all of the wooden grave markers in these cemeteries. So they weren't able to find anyone, move any of those bodies. And now there's an estimated 12,000 people buried under Lincoln Park.
I totally did not know this. So you're saying in like Graceland Cemetery, where I've been a lot, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous cemetery. My mom loves to just go and visit and walk around. Maybe that's where I got this from, this like interest in ghosts. But those are bodies that had been moved, but then there were still 12,000 more left. Oh my gosh, totally did not know. Fascinating.
It's incredible. The Lincoln Park Zoo actually does a haunted ghost tour every year around Halloween.
Amazing.
Which is so lovely. So yeah, there's a lot going on in this area. So it makes sense that why I would move into an apartment, that it would be pretty spooky. So I moved into an apartment here in 2017. The building that I moved into actually was a hotel in the 20s. So again, very, lots of, what do they call it? Liminal spaces. These areas where people move in and out of a lot, okay, like hospitals, train stations, things like that, tend to grab onto that energy. And I really saw no problem with it. Like every dumb white woman in a horror movie, I was like, yeah, sign me up. 1920s hotel, let's go. And as soon as I moved in, things started feeling kind of weird.
Oh my gosh.
I lived in this building, it was a hotel, and in the lobby, it still almost looked like the lobby of a hotel where it was all marble. They had this big, beautiful fireplace, big mirrors on all sides of the wall, but it was totally empty. And so whenever I had people over, some of them were more eloquent than others. They would describe that as they walked through the lobby to the elevator, it felt as if they had walked into a room where a conversation was happening that they shouldn't hear. That they were being stared at and glared at all the way up to the elevator. And then other of my friends would just say, I don't like it down there, Sarah. I hate it. I hate it. I don't like this building. I'm like, well, this is where I live now. So one of my first guests that I had over was my friend from college, who I refer to as like a golden retriever friend. She is my nicest friend in the world. She would never do anything to hurt me. I invited her over. She gave me a call. She said she was lost. I said, great, I'm coming down to get you. I grab her, we get in the elevator. And as we're in the elevator, she says, is anyone else here? Like, did our other friends show up? Am I the first one? And I was like, yeah, it's just you. She goes, do you have the TV on or like music or anything? I'm like, no, I turned it off. You were coming over. And she looks out in front of her and doesn't even say it to me, just like says it to herself. That is so weird. I could have sworn I heard another voice. Oh, and God. Just like
now, like in your apartment.
Yep. She heard another voice on the line as I was speaking. And you know, she's sitting there and she,
on the line, like, is she on the call, like buzzer? Okay.
We were having a phone call where she was like, oh, I'm lost, I'm outside, can you come get me?
Oh, okay. So that's when she heard another, okay, oh my God.
That's when
okay.
She heard another voice, and I ran down to grab her, and then she was like, oh, why isn't there another person in your apartment? I heard a voice. And then I got really mad at her, because I had to sleep there.
Oh my God, that would really freak me out. Did she say anything like what the voice was like, man, woman, was it, yeah, she couldn't tell.
She couldn't tell me. She was like, I heard this voice and I don't know what to tell you, but I'm so sorry and I'll never say anything ever again. just so terrified. So that, you know, started to kick off my senses of like, okay, cool. I might not be alone here. I would wake up in the middle of the night to big whooshes of cold air blowing over me. Which was very odd. I would wake up to, I heard my name in my ear a couple of times, which is not as fun as you would think. Just a little like Sarah in your ear is very upsetting.
Oh my God.
There was a couple, I'll go over a couple more fun instances, but this was one of the scarier ones that I woke up in the middle of the night. I usually sleep on my side, right? And I woke up in the middle of the night like a starfish flat on my back. And it felt as if, Emily, as if someone had clapped their hands right over my face as they were hovering above me and just went, and I woke up. And I realized as I was sitting there and I was kind of freaked out, I heard my neighbors arguing. And as I listened more and more, I realized that the guy was really drunk and he was throwing things and he was being loud and screaming at this woman to the point where almost everyone on the floor was like, we're gonna call the police. And she ended up being okay. But it really did feel when that clap over my head happened, it felt like a feeling of like, wake up, something is happening, you need to wake up.
Whoa, which is, that's like a nice ghost being like, she needs your help in the next, yeah, like like little like feminist ally ghosts or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, it was very, very like intelligent, you know, and we would have a lot of these, a lot of these goings on. Actually, a friend of mine, one of my best friends in the world, she's like my sister, and like all siblings, we do have some fights. And there was one time where she came home, we were going to sit down, we were going to hash something out. She's sitting on my couch and she's mad. And I'm going over to my little baker's cart where I have all of my frying pans hung up. And I'm like angrily making her a cup of tea. And out of nowhere, one of my frying pans that is hung up on a little hook, like an S hook, comes up off of the hook and falls to the floor.
Oh, it's like it's your anger or something.
It literally, it was again, another feeling of like, all right, girls, knock it off. Like, just like, stop it. This is stupid. Stop it. And I mean, we looked at each other. She saw it. I saw it. I actually texted her after I found out we were doing this podcast. And I'm like, did I gaslight myself? Like, that happened, right? And she was like, nope. It came off the wall. We watched it happen. And I stood there for a good 3 minutes after, trying to be the good paranormal investigator I am, trying to make it happen again. Uh-huh. And I couldn't.
Oh my God. Woo. Wow. So holy cow. Wait, okay. So this seems like totally freaky, but also like this ghost has your best interest sort of at heart. When you heard your name, did you hear specifically, like, was that like gendered, or was it, did they say it with any sort of like malice or sweetly, or?
Definitely not malice. I do eventually soon find out the gender.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry. I keep interrupting. I should just like.
No, you're good. Okay. No, I love it. I love the quote. I just so many weird, as I was going through my, like, I wrote all of these down back a while ago. And as I was going through all these notes, I kept remembering things that had happened, you know? So there was another instance where I actually was talking to the same woman, the frying pan woman that watched this happen as well. I don't know how to explain this. And this is just so weird. I don't know why it would happen, but we were on the phone. I was sitting in my bedroom and she's in her apartment making pancakes, right? And she's not a great cook. She is burning the pancakes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking her through this and being like, you have to go before your fire alarm goes off. You have to go like on your balcony, blah, 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 blah. Out of nowhere, my fire alarm goes off. And I panic and I do what I was taught to do forever. I throw down I grab my shoes, I don't grab anything. I go out into the hall and I realize my fire alarm is the only one on the whole floor that's going off.
Oh my God.
It's just my fire alarm.
That is so interesting. Holy shit.
And I looked, I grabbed it, I took the batteries out, I checked it and everything was fine. And that was one of those moments that really, really freaked me out, because I literally was just talking about that with her, about something burning. And I grabbed my shoes. I actually walked out without socks. It was February. I didn't care. I grabbed my coat and I looked at my apartment. I put my hands up and I said, fix this. Fix it. I don't want this like this when I get back. And I left.
Oh my God. You were almost talking to the ghost from outside your apartment being like, I don't want... Fix this fire alarm situation.
Fix whatever it is, like fix your attitude, fix your, you know, something is off and I don't like it.
Oh my God. Is this still 2017 at this point?
It was going into 2018 at this point.
Okay, so this has been happening for a while.
Yes. And at this point, like obviously I told my friends about it. I had a friend who was a little sensitive come over just for a few minutes. I talked to her literally in the car outside and I said, I think my house is kind of haunted, just so you know, I want to see what you think. Didn't say another word about it. Went upstairs, grabbed some stuff, walked out, went downstairs. And I said, all right, what was the vibe? What did you get? And she was like, well, I didn't get any vibe until I got to the door frame and I felt a hand on the small of my back push me out.
Oh my God. Like push her out of your apartment?
Just like a little, like a boop.
Hi.
Goodbye.
God.
Oh. So I don't know if she just felt, or like whoever it was like, I don't want you here anymore. Goodbye.
Oh my God.
So I did get brave enough. Have you ever used dowsing rods?
Mm-mm. I've seen them in movies.
I love them. I got them as a gift. And who knows, of course, like all of these things, I understand skeptics exist and things like that, but I personally have loved them. I've used them in investigations, and I decided to break them out on Halloween.
So can you describe what they are, just for, I can picture them from movies, but also like they're probably listeners that have no idea. Yeah. That have never seen. I don't even know if what my idea from movies is correct.
So here's one. So they are basically just like a long, usually copper? Like copper rod.
Yeah.
And they have a little base that is not firm to the rod, so okay. It can easily move.
Right. Okay.
And the goal is to hold them both steady, usually with one a little bit above the other. And I don't want it to do anything now, so I'm going to put it down. I don't want it to move around. I haven't used them in a while. But you're supposed to keep them out straight, and you can use them to ask usually yes or no questions, depending on whether or not the rods cross.
So would you say like yes is cross and no is go farther away or something, sort of? Okay.
So I would usually I would say out loud, I would be like, okay, so this, and I'd do the cross. I'd be like, this is yes, this mm-hmm. is no. And if whatever is there is active and reactive, it would kind of it would mirror me on that. Sometimes I would say, okay, show me yes, and it would cross them. And I'd say, show me no, and it would go straight.
So wait, so is this the first time you're using them in this old apartment?
The first big time. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'd used them a couple of other times, but today I was like, okay, I'm really going to go for it. I'm really going to use the rods. And I asked probably the worst question I could have asked. Basically, are you a good ghost or are you a bad ghost? Are you here, you know, are you here with malice? Are you here with good intentions? And the answer was yes, good intentions. Like, didn't seem to be any sort of malice.
Great.
And then like you were saying, I checked, you know, how did they identify? What sort of gender are we talking about? And they identified as female, which I was so happy about. I don't want any men in my house.
Yeah.
Just at all. So I had a feeling it was a female. I had a feeling that she was a woman, but I just wanted to be sure. And then, as I drop one of my AirPods, I wanted to have something to call her. Because I just didn't want to call her like ghost.
Right. Right.
You know, or spirit or whatever. So I sat there and I said, okay, I want someone to call you. I'm going to go through the alphabet and I want you to cross the rods when you get to a letter that you want me to call you. And I went through the entire alphabet, and the only time it ever crossed was the letter G.
Okay.
So that's what I called her. I was like, okay, your name is G from now on.
Because you're not doing the whole alphabet with the crossing for every, yeah, you're like, I don't have time for that. You're a ghost.
I just held them out straight. And I said, cross on the letter that you want me to call you. And I went through every single letter and none of them crossed at all, except for G.
But then you weren't like, I'm going to do the whole name here. You weren't like, I'm going to do Gertrude or something. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, I couldn't do it. Oh, I would not. I feel like I did it. I think I did it before I had to go to work that day. Mm-hmm. So that would have been a tough one.
What if you feel like you seem so comfortable with this? And like, if I thought that I had a ghost and you lived alone, right?
I lived alone.
Yeah. If I lived alone and thought I had a ghost and then they were like responding to my rods, I would be pretty freaked out. Like, you seem pretty cool about it.
You know, I mean, I'm also not in that situation anymore. But it didn't feel malicious. Mm-hmm. I had all these instances where it seemed like whoever it was kind of watching my back. And I did have conversations. Like, I actually, in the haunted places that I've been in my life, especially now that I'm older and I'm a bit more of a scaredy cat, I have said out loud to rooms like, hey, if there's anyone here, and you are benign and you are with good intentions, you are welcome to stay. Like, you are welcome to be here. We can coexist. If I see you, I'll cry. If I see you, I will cry. That's the deal.
Did you tell that to G?
I did. I was like, you are welcome to be here. If I see you, I'll cry. And I especially if they're good, I try to play into their emotions of like, it will make me really upset. Please, please don't. Not in my home. If I'm investigating, you know, an abandoned warehouse in Kentucky or something, fine. I don't have to go and sleep there.
So do you do this regularly?
I have in the past. I've got, you know, a couple of other stories of staying over at a couple of haunted places, doing some fun ghost investigations. I listened to the episode where a man said there was a ghost up in Ravenswood.
Yes.
Yeah. And he talked about a New York ghost tour where he got, you know, EVPs and they were using all of this machinery and stuff. And that's the sort of stuff that I love to do.
Oh, amazing. Cool. Well, yeah. Is there more stuff that happened in your apartment before we go to that stuff?
Unfortunately, I'm sorry.
God. Yes. Okay. Love the story of G. I want to hear more.
I promise it is coming to a big finale. It felt, it did not feel malicious. It felt okay. We had an understanding. If she popped out, I was going to lose my mind. But it felt good. It felt like a good protective spirit. So we went to New Orleans, me and my best friends from college. We road trip to New Orleans in March of 2018. And of course, we're in New Orleans. I shelled out for a medium.
Great.
And I was like, you know what? I am a believer. Even if this person like tries to pull one over on me, I'll enjoy it. I don't care. I'll have a nice time. So I went in, it was to Hex, which is a great witch shop in New Orleans. And I had this wonderful medium and his name was Eli. And literally, Emily, they put us in, essentially it almost felt like a closet. We were so close together. It was totally dark. And eventually my eyes like had to adjust to seeing him and watching the cards that were coming out. And the first couple of questions I asked him, he was asking like, who do you want to connect with? And I ended up connecting with a couple of people from my past. My friend Jack, who unfortunately passed away when he was 18 of brain cancer. I got in touch with him because I loved him very much. I was a little older than him. And I knew that this medium was legit just from the tone of voice he was using for my friend. Because classic Jack, he was absolutely roasting me in front of this stranger. Like just, I was talking, he was yelling at me because I was still hung up on some guy and he was saying, she always does this. It's a defense mechanism. She doesn't want to go out and be with other people. And I was like, can we not in front of this new person? My love, my dear, please don't do this. At the very end of Jack's reading, he said he has this beautiful golden aura. And that was his catchphrase, was stay golden. Which was beautiful. I was so happy to get to talk to him. And there was more time left. So I said, oh God, my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, let's see if he's around. And this man, I watched this medium like struggle, like sit there and struggle to find my grandfather. And at one point he sighs and he looks up at me and goes, Chicago Italian.
So, and this guy does not know that you're from Chicago, that you are Italian.
I'm 50% Italian. My dad was 100% Italian. You know, they all lived on from the south side of Chicago. And I lost my mind. That's when I really knew. I was like, all right, this guy is perfect. My grandfather, true to life, he had so little to say. Yeah. He was like, I'm glad you're doing well. Tell your dad to listen to his doctors more. You're getting a new job soon, which I did.
Whoa, cool.
Good luck. So at this point, because this guy was so legit, I took a risk, right? And I said, hey, I know this is a real long shot, but I think my apartment back in Chicago is haunted. could you tell me who is in my apartment, please? And he was like, let's give it a shot. And he's shuffling the decks and he's thinking, he's putting down cards and he's saying, okay, you were right. It is a female. There is a female in your apartment. She's probably in her 30s, in her 40s. Oh, and she's not attached to the apartment. She's attached to you.
I got chills. That's
I, my jaw drops to the ground and I'm like, excuse me? And he goes, yeah, she's attached to you. She has nothing to do with the building. And he keeps going and he's like, she's a little conservative. She's a little bit older. She doesn't trust men. I'm like, well, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Me neither, girlfriend. And he stops for a minute. He looks at me and he goes, do you cook? And I absolutely do not. The fact that my frying pan was on that baking rack, it probably had dust on it when it fell. I do not cook ever. And I told him that. And he said, yeah, she judges you for that. So I'm still freaking out. I'm losing my mind. And he goes, she's not a native English speaker. I'm trying to figure out, because he himself was fluent in all the Romance languages. And okay. He was actually kind of mad. He's like, God, I don't know any of the Eastern European languages. I'm trying to figure it out.
No, so no worries. He's going through all of these languages and trying to
He's trying to go through all the languages. He's trying to figure out which one it is. And he looks at me and goes, I think it's Polish. I wanted to say Russian, but when I offered that to her, she got really mad. So I think she's speaking Polish.
My and grandparents in Chicago, one was Polish and one was Russian. And I don't remember which one thought, maybe they both on both sides, their parents were like, ew, you're marrying a Russian, you're marrying a Polish. So that's really funny. I totally get that.
I'm so glad that that's validated.
Oh, yeah. My mom talks about it all the time because she's half Polish, half Russian. And she's like, my grandparents were disgusted by this match. Anyway.
He's like, I think she's Polish and she's very proud. She's very religious. He says she's very religious and she's very proud of the fact that she's named after Saint Margaret. And I felt pretty dumb right then. I was like, oh God, my ghost hunting skills are not great. And at that point I was like, I feel like such an idiot. For months now, I've been going around and I've been calling her G.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, why don't you go and look up the Polish nicknames for Margaret, which start with the letter G.
Oh my God. What are they?
Gozia, Goska, Gozikena, and Gosiona. Obviously, I do not speak Polish. That is my best guess.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? That's the one that really blew me away.
So then you have this knowledge that this is, yeah. And I would have felt the same way, like, oh no, I screwed this up. That's an M name. And then, yeah. And then there is a reason.
But that's,
so did you go home and then like talk to her more about it?
I did, you know, I tried. I don't know if I use the rods anymore after that. But I did. I would still talk to her out loud. I tried to cook a little more and I would tell her as I was doing it. I'd be like, here you go. I tried to find like Polish Saint Margaret prayer cards, things like that. To be able to have, and you know, I moved out of that apartment, December of 2019.
Okay.
And I was like, you're welcome to come with, if you'd like, you're welcome to go about your way if you'd like. And I think that that's exactly what she did. I think she packed up her Mary Poppins bag and said, all right, this girl knows she needs to cook more, that she shouldn't let any men into her house. And that's just how she needs to live her life.
Wow.
I think she saw me crossing the street one day, probably looking in my phone and not noticing that I'm about to get hit by a car or something. And just said like, oh, this girl needs help. She needs a watchful eye around for a couple of years. And once she gets her bearings, then I can go on my way.
Oh my God, this is so sweet though. I love it.
I love happy ghosts. I mean, I love scary ones too, but it's so nice to know there are happy ghosts out there, like protective ghosts. And yeah, do you miss her?
That's such a good question. There definitely feels like a difference being in this apartment and not having some sort of energy there. This building is a lot newer. And I had friends over for the first time a couple of weeks ago. I had like 10 people in my house for the first time. And there was a feeling when I woke up in the middle of the night, I went to go get some water. I went to go to the bathroom. And in the corner of one of my rooms, it felt like there was this little black, dark, shadowy mass staring back at me. And I just had this feeling of like, whose demon are you? You're not mine. What are you doing in my house? Get out. I'm not a lost and found. Please leave. And it was so different because spiritually, my house feels so quiet now. And it didn't then. It felt like I had some sort of weird cosmic roommate. And it was nice to know that I had, you know, someone else kind of looking out for me.
So this is fascinating to me too, about like feeling of a presence that is not your demon. So you told it to leave and it left.
I believe so. I, again, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to speak out loud, like, get out of my house. If you're not supposed to be here, you got to go.
Yeah.
And I ended up being able to go to sleep. I probably slept with the light on. But the whole next morning, I broke out my whole bag of tricks, like all my cleansing, my candles, my salts, my crystals. I was clapping in corners. I was playing Tibetan bells on YouTube. I was opening windows. I was like, get out of my house. Amazing. And now it feels better.
Do you think one of your friends left it? Like, as like a housekeeping gift? Like, hey, I'm here. Here's a bottle of wine and my demon.
Well, you know, Emily, I had a bunch of comics over at my house. So somebody had some bad energy that they just didn't want to keep.
Oh, God, it's so true. That's so funny. So when we started talking, I didn't realize that like you are very comfortable with all this stuff and you do this stuff and you go places and you explore and you've stayed in haunted places. So I am so interested to hear about that as well, if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, if we have time, I'd love to tell my second story. When I was 13 years old, I went to stay in the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. Mm-hmm. And for the listeners, the Queen Mary used to be a medical ship in World War II. And now it's beached and now it's a big, beautiful hotel. And I first saw it on Ghost Hunters when I was in like seventh grade. And I was obsessed. First of all, I was obsessed with the show that they were going to all these haunted places. It was dark. They had cameras. They're talking to ghosts. I was like, this is my shit. I can do this easily. So we went, we stayed on the Queen Mary. And as soon as we got there, the vibes were a little off. They were interesting. My dad and I, we went down to the medical ward.
Okay.
And first of all, I don't know why there was this whole big plaque on the side of the medical ward that listed every person who had ever died on the ship. And like,
why it's so haunted is because it's like, it was a medical facility. I mean,
I've heard
that it's so haunted, but I guess like, yeah, I don't know. And people like dying at sea is very scary. And I don't know. Yeah.
And they also talk about, I've had a friend of mine, her mom is also interested in this. And she talks about how like water is almost like a conductor for spiritual energy too.
Okay.
And of course, just being right on the water, having all those people who have passed away, just a powder keg. Yeah. Honestly. And what was really upsetting was on the plaque from like 1960 onward, there was more than an unsettling amount of people who had died and the cause of death was unknown.
Okay. How many people had died, were on the plaque to begin with?
It's been so long ago, but it was a decent sized plaque. It wasn't just like a little itty bitty one you put on a bench.
Yeah.
It was like a good wall-sized bronze plaque.
All right. So you're like, we're working with a lot here.
I was like, cool, there's a lot going on. My dad was like, do not touch the walls, you're gonna get TB. And I literally, so we walked into this one tiny room that was set up like it was supposed to be a World War II medical room, right? With little bunk beds. Everything was sterile, white, crisp, pristine. It had a little porthole. And as soon as I walked in, I looked to my right and I see the bunk bed. And it felt like, again, like I talked about the mass, I could kind of see the outline, you know, I can't actually see anything, but I felt it. And in this room, I felt as if someone was sitting on the end of that bed with their arms on their knees and looking up with me at the, with the worst possible glare they could. Like just someone sitting there and looking at me with this face that was like, get out.
Oh my God.
To the point where I was actually, I froze for a second. I couldn't, I was really nervous. I felt really scared. And then I got out of it and dashed upstairs and ran back to our hotel room. The whole time that I was on this trip, I was 13 years old. This is way before iPhones. I was an only child. All I had was myself and a small handheld tape recorder that I just did bits to myself essentially the entire time to keep myself entertained. And I went back up to my hotel room after this incident. And I 13-year-old me spoke into the recorder and was like, note to self, I am a very, very stupid little girl. What am I doing on this ship? This is terrible. I'm so scared. We did the whole ghost tour. We did everything. We went to, you know, the different parts of the ship. The boiler room was supposed to be really haunted because, they used to play chicken with the doors that would come down in case there was a flood on the boat. And one person got stuck underneath one of those iron doors.
That is horrible.
It's awful. You know, there's the pool where they consistently see a little girl. They see wet footprints around this pool that hasn't been open since the 30s.
Oh my God.
All this different stuff. They have this longest hallway on the ship that was also haunted by a little girl that they talked about a lot. And once we were done with the ghost tour, to my parents' chagrin, I was like, all right, it's 10:30. We're going out. We're going ghost hunting. Grab your camera, grab your digital camera, grab my Sony tape recorder, grab a couple of batteries. Let's go. And my mom and I went around this whole ship that was practically deserted. We didn't see anybody as we were walking through all the different hallways. We got to the long hallway where there was supposed to be a little girl. And, you know, my mom said, I think this is it. I think it's a long hallway. I'm down at the very end, taking pictures, getting mad because I'm not getting anything. I'm not feeling anything. No one's touched me. No one's saying anything to me. We end up getting to a staircase where I'm like, all right, mom, I need you to stand back. I'm going to be a professional ghost hunter here really quick because I'm 13 and I've seen a season's worth of ghost hunters. So so hold on to your folks. All right. And I said, I started very foolishly berating the ghosts because I'm like, oh, that's how they do it in the shows. They like get them riled up.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there. 13-year-old me is like, you probably don't even know that you're dead. Really dumb. Really, really poor decision. And then as I'm doing this, I'm taking pictures, I'm looking, I'm saying things. And as I'm saying these things, all of these orbs start appearing in my pictures.
Oh my God.
When there were not before. And my mom at this point, she's kind of a skeptic. She was like shouting to the room, like just somebody like pull her hair or something so I can go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be here anymore. And then I'm saying things and I'm taking pictures. And I took one picture of this big staircase and you can tell just down the middle of it, almost like a rectangle, everything is just like three shades darker. Just this cool, shadowy kind of figure like coming down the stairs. And when I saw that, I was like, good night. That is it for me. Ran back to the hotel room. I was supposed to sleep in this little tiny twin bed because it's literally like a war era barracks, you know. Yeah. I was supposed to sleep in this little tiny bed that was right next to the door that goes out to the hallway, right next to the door handle. I said, absolutely not. I went to the back. There was a couch. I grabbed a pillow. I put it over my head. I slept face down the whole night. My poor mother had to sleep in the tiny twin bed right next to the door. And so she did it. She fell asleep. She's a skeptic. And she wakes up in the middle of the night and her head, it's so small. These brooms are so small. Her head's practically underneath the door handle. And she looks up and the door handle is slowly turning.
No, no.
It's slowly turning back and forth, very, very slowly. And then she hears about 4 or 5 running steps, like, and then that's it. No, excuse me, no, oops, wrong door, no, even footsteps continuing down the hallway. Just the turning of the handle and those little steps running away.
What did she do?
You know what? She kind of sat there and was like, well, this is real, I guess.
It was the best. Did she leave after that?
You know what? It did freak her out for sure. We left that morning. I don't think any of us got coffee or anything. We left as soon as we could to get out of that place because it was too spooky. We needed to go home.
Now I want to go really bad.
It was insane. I would love to go again. I'd love to ghost hunt it. And I loved that trip so much. I came back and I played the recording for myself. I was home alone. My parents were out. I was listening to the whole tape, you know, very only child of myself being like, what good bits I had. Look how funny I was. And it got to the point where I was in the long hallway with my mom that was supposed to be haunted by a little girl. Mm-hmm. And on the tape, you can hear my mom say, oh, I think you're right. This is the long hallway. You can hear me mumbling something from down the hall as I'm taking pictures. But on the tape, there is what I believe to be a little girl's voice that says, go back home.
Dang it! This is like the 4th time you've given me chills in this episode. This is amazing. Oh my God, that's so scary.
It is very retro. I will tell you, it's a little hand-held recorder. Yeah. So my voice is garbled, but you can still tell it really is. Oh, I think this is a long hallway. I mutter some reply. And then there is a little whisper in between those two voices that has a totally different tone. It's a totally different voice. You can tell that it's not us. There was no one else in that hallway. And there's no other way that there could have been another voice there.
Oh my God, that poor girl. She's probably got to tell people to go home 700 times a day.
Literally, get out of my hallway.
That's insane. Holy cow. So then like at the time you're 13, so you're like, well, I'm definitely a believer now for sure if I wasn't already.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was my big moment. I mean, I had to learn. Took me a couple of years, but for a while there, anytime that someone was like, I don't believe in ghosts, I was like, oh boy, am I about to prove you wrong? Look at this evidence I got. Look at these photos. Look at all this stuff. I can't waste my time anymore. If people want to believe, cool. If they don't, cool. But I ended up using that little clip in an 8th grade PowerPoint for one of my classes, persuasive PowerPoint. And I said, this is why ghosts exist. And I played it and everybody lost their freaking minds. I got a 99. It was great.
Amazing. Oh, I love it. Oh my God. These are awesome stories. This has been so incredible. Do you have any other, because you ghost hunt, so I didn't realize that you do that. Like, do you have any other things that you want to talk about as far as like ghost hunting stuff?
I don't have any other really cool ones. There were a couple of times, you know, obviously growing up as a theater kid, ton of super haunted theaters.
Dude, that's a running theme on the ones I've been recording lately, and I love it.
Yeah, there was definitely a couple of hometown theaters that were pretty spooky that I got a couple of voices on. We went to, oh man, South Suburbs. Did you ever go to Bachelor's Grove?
So my parents live like a 5-minute walk from Bachelor's Grove. Yeah. So I've been there a lot. But nothing happened. Yeah.
That's so, I went a couple of times, once when I was in 7th grade, I pulled another really, again, 7th grade Sarah was playing like wild and loose with the rules on ghost hunting. I went with a friend of mine, we took a Ouija board, we put it on a grave.
This is so ballsy.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I know what to do in this situation if this goes awry for me. And there were a couple of voices on those tapes. Unfortunately, I can't find the Bachelor's Grove tape from back in the day, but I definitely got a couple of voices there. And then I don't know. The second time I went back to Bachelor's Grove, it was in the middle of summer. It was totally overgrown. And Emily, was the weirdest thing. We walked in and half of the stones in there were covered with red candle wax.
Oh, scary. Like there had been some sort of like creepy ritual there.
Yes.
It was probably though. I mean, like everyone knows about Bachelor's Grove in the Chicago area. And like, I think my mom's friend was there and saw there's like a woman, there was a house like near it that's like in the woods, like across this lake. And then she was like looking at this woman in the house and the woman was there. I mean, like, I just feel like there's so many stories there. And then of course, every time I've gone, I just feel like I'm not interesting to ghosts. They're just like, okay. My whole family, we're so desperate. We're like, please come out. And they're like, no, you're too pathetic. I need some tools, I think.
Oh, man. The dowsing rods are really fun. They're really cool.
Like, it sounds like more sophisticated Ouija board or more legit Ouija board.
You know, it's easier to decipher. Okay. In my opinion, and probably less likely to do some dumb shit like open a demon portal or something like that, you know? Yes. Things I don't have time for.
Totally. My husband's a comedian and he has to joke about bad reviews of Ouija boards, and they're like, somebody's like, the plastic's flimsy, and then somebody else is like, there's a portal to hell in my kitchen. Like, I'm giving it a 1-star review.
Oh God.
So cool. That's good to know about. I didn't know. Yeah. I guess it's probably safer. Dowsing rods. That is a new thing that I haven't really talked about on this pod before. So that is awesome.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much for doing this podcast. I loved talking to you.
This is so nice.
Sarah, where can people find you on the internet and plug whatever you would like to plug?
Great. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is @SarahCosty, COSTY. And currently right now, my friends and I wrote a sketch comedy special that we're filming right now. It's called In Case I Go Missing, and it should be up within the next couple of months. So you can follow me for updates.
Congratulations. That's so wonderful.
Thank you.
People coming out of hiding and being able to actually make stuff. That's very cool.
Yes, finally.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. This was awesome.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. Please follow our incredible guest on social media. Check me out at Emily MC Winter on Instagram and Twitter. And grab a copy of One Day Smarter, Hilarious Random Information to Uplift and Inspire, my new trivia book, wherever you get your books. Pre-orders are awesome. You guys rule. Have a great week.